You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Happy holidays, everyone, and we're indeed having a cheery one at OneOfUs.net because of our brand new beer sponsor. Everyone say hello to Circle Brewing. You can visit them at circlebrewing.com or come to their tap room in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. But these are A-quality craft beers all the way. Quite a few of their beers are available to buy at your local quality beer retailer in the can or the bottle. My personal fave is the Blur. Their Hefeweizen that I've been regularly quoted as saying is the finest hefe made in America. Or their delicious Lady Bird IPA. But visit the tap room for seasonal treats that will definitely delight your taste buds. Now that's what the Ghost of Christmas Present showed us. The Ghost of Christmas Future has a more dismal outlook, but it depends on you to keep the apocalyptic future where OneOfUs.net no longer exists from ever happening. We depend on subscribers to keep the site running. We literally cannot put out our shows without you, and that ghoulish specter is even now pointing down at the gravestone with our name on it. Please think about becoming a subscriber, get lots of bonus content, and keep one of us from joining the darkest timeline.
You know, sometimes when you got a big trouble and some kind of disaster on the horizon, you gotta shake and then you gotta quake.
Oh my God.
And that is my horrible, horrible attempt at an intro for this movie.
Ah, okay. Good one, Justin.
Oh boy. This movie is The Quake. Now, it's interesting. This is actually a sequel to the movie The Wave that came out in 2015, which I believe Patience here actually saw this movie, correct?
Yeah, I love the Wave, and that's one of the reasons why I was so stoked to find out there was a sequel, because Quake is kind of, I mean, you don't really need to see The Wave to see understand Quake, but they're sort of spiritual sequels, and I sought out The Quake just for that purpose, and we'll talk about my feelings later.
Let's not get too started with that yet. But the original movie, The Quake, was really well regarded in the festival circuits and foreign film markets, where that was directed by the dude with the best name ever, Roar Uthog, which is just like, okay, that's an awesome director name. Which he went on to do Tomb Raider. So, okay.
Oh, okay.
Which Tomb Raider? The new one. Oh, okay.
The new one.
This movie, The Quake, is directed by a guy named John Andreas Anderson, who is less familiar as a director because, if I recall, this is maybe one of his earliest features. This is his second outing as a director. Before that, he was a cinematographer who shot a lot of great movies, including Headhunters, that really great thriller film from 2011.
Oh, Headhunters was amazing.
Yeah, so he was the cinematographer on that, and this is, you know, taking another swing at doing a theatrical release film. So, for the people who don't know the premise, let's see. You know what, London, since you're so quiet back there, why don't you explain what is the plot of The Quake?
Oh, boy, the cost of being quiet. So
I'm a teacher in training, man. I always know where the quiet students are in this group. So,
as everyone said, this is a sequel to The Wave, which had come out, and The Quake kind of picks up with, and spoilers, I guess, for The Wave. The main character, his name is Christian, and he is a geologist. And from what we can tell, like, I didn't see the first one, but I can just tell from this film, he survived an incident that it's kind of like a natural disaster. And he also saved his family. I believe he saved some other people from what they hinted at. But it also has given him extreme post-traumatic stress. And so much of the fact that he's actually become estranged from his family. And this all takes place in Norway, by the way. And so, yeah, that is important, apparently, because I keep referencing it. And so now, like, he's trying to connect with his family, but he's starting to get hints that there might be another cataclysmic event. And so this film's kind of the trailer kind of says it, but it's him basically dealing with it. And trying to reconnect with his family as well.
Okay, so I'm curious, like, is this in the nature of most disaster films, like, where the first half is the setup and then the second half is the disaster itself?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Indubitably. Yeah.
Pretty classic.
That sounds about right. Now, it's interesting, too, because they mentioned, I think they said that the previous example, the earthquake that hit before, like in like 1904, which apparently Oslo is just the epicenter for all disasters everywhere, based on this synopsis I'm reading here. but like a 5.5 magnitude. So it's like, okay, yeah, if that shook a major city like Oslo, you know, lots of death, lots of disasters going to happen to this place, of course, I can imagine. So who'd like to start talking about this movie now that we've got the setup out of the way?
Well, I didn't see The Wave, and I wasn't aware this was the sequel to it. So when it opens up and they're like, oh, this great geologist, he saved so many lives. He's a geologesus, the many lives that he saved. I thought, oh, that's cool. Are we going to flashback to see that?
Geologesus. Yeah. I like so, that.
That's brilliant.
Apologies
so
for the blasphemy there. Yeah.
Brad, you do know which website you're on, right?
Right. So, no, I'm excited to watch The Wave because I thought that, oh boy, here it comes 6 months later, but then it, or earlier, but we get the later instead. And I'm like, okay. What I really enjoyed about the Christian character, I watch a lot of disaster movies. Me and my sister Lindsay love disaster movies, from the really bad ones like 2012, which has its moments, to the ones that are like super high production, like the Spielberg War of the Worlds, which, you know, it's fine. But you never really see...
I love disaster films. You don't have to excuse yourself. I love them.
Okay, good. Yeah, War of the Worlds got a little bit scary. Well, you know, I'm a dad. So what I liked is Christian, the most rugged thing about him is he has a mustache. So it's cool that, you know, I could kind of picture myself in this situation. While The Rock in a lot of these action movies shows up, I'm like, that's not me. My family's going to die, you know.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that it's like real people trying to deal with extraordinary circumstances and they act like real people.
Yeah, because I don't recognize anyone on the cast here. There's a lot of, like, you know, I'm assuming they're just native Norwegian actors. Like Christopher Joner is the actor plays Christian. And there's Aldot Torp, who plays Idun. I'm assuming, is it like wife or girlfriend or another character? Yep. Or?
Yeah, it's an ex. Or, well, not really an ex.
Estranged wife,
yeah,
I guess.
Estranged wife.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So then, all right, what else? Tell me more. Take free reign, whatever you guys want to do on this. Tell me what about this movie.
It had some moments.
What?
Oh. It has some moments. That's good to know.
There are some beautiful shots. I will say that there's some beautiful shots, but I think overall it's a disaster movie. And well, it dealt a lot with long dramatic stares, shall we say.
Yes.
There's a lot of angsty stares and crying and whimpering more. There's a lot of whimpering. It was more whimpering than crying. And there's a whole bunch of it. And I'm like, oh my God, just get the fuck over it. Make a decision to do something. That's what I felt the whole movie. Like, okay, enough of the emoting. Move on. Deal with the situation at hand. So that's my takeaway. But at the same time, I appreciated the real people effects of trying to deal with these circumstances, because not everyone's going to deal well. People freeze, and some people can handle things, some people can think, and some people can't. I mean, but yeah, I thought they could have tightened up the script a little bit. How about that?
I totally agree with both of you guys. Like, for one, I'm with Bradley. Like, disaster films are probably my second favorite genre next to horror. I guess I just like mass destruction and
me
crying.
Too. Me too.
So, like, I love disaster films. And so I can't help but compare this to The Wave in a lot of ways, because I felt like The Wave was a complete movie from beginning to end. And you can definitely tell the difference between directors, because this movie is more about, it's more emphasis on his family relationship than it is on what's going to happen. And like Laura said, it's a lot of like staring and a lot of like angsty moments, which I think is very Norwegian.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's like, okay, already, like, I want to see the disaster happen. And then once the disaster finally happens, you're like, oh. So it's just like...
And then it just ended.
Yeah, it just ends abruptly. It's like a bottle episode. It was just so weird. Yeah. And you're just like, okay, I guess I just spent like 80 minutes of my life for like 6 minutes of like disaster.
Aww.
You know...
It's really disappointing.
You know, to add to that, the odd structuring, it's very strange, because it's kind of constructed in a way like a generic... not generic, it has the formula of a disaster film. You're right, the one half is set up, the other, but it's more like two-thirds is set up, and then the last third is the actual disaster.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it kind of falls in, well, some of the characters in general, they kind of act like real people. There are some dumb moments, like some dumb decisions.
Yeah, there are quite a few dumb moments.
Hmm?
Like somebody stepping in a puddle, the wife steps in a puddle, and then she's like, oh, my foot's wet, and then they show a shot of her foot that's wet, and she repeats it. Well, we saw her step in the puddle. We know her foot's wet. Why are you showing us that?
Or like characters decide, oh, I'm going to go here even though I know something's going to happen. Like, no movie. Don't lose me.
Or the little girl that doesn't fucking listen.
Julia.
Oh. Julia.
Trying to stop spoilers, but sure.
Or a glass building in the middle of an earthquake. Let's go in it. I mean.
Yeah. Or like, there's this one character. I'm not going to do spoilers, but there's this one character who, she kind of already has something tragic. Well, I'm sorry. The character already has something tragic happen to them. And then they kind of get dragged along for other things.
I agree. Like, what is my... I didn't understand that at all.
Yeah.
Way to traumatize a teenager. Jesus.
Yeah. It's like, oh, God. And that's another, you know, that's another thing, too. Just the whole setup behind it. I mean, like I said, I think I really do want to see The Wave now, because I feel like The Wave makes more sense from just what the setup is. Because this is the whole attitude is like, this thing happened to this guy twice. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, it's like, there's either two things. Either you or your family's cursed, or that city's cursed, or Norway's cursed.
Well, let me set up The Wave a little bit more for you guys. So The Wave takes place in a small town fjord, and The Wave is an avalanche / tsunami. Mm. It's not an earthquake. But he is definitely the geologist in charge of, like, this station that's, monitoring avalanche / tsunamis. Mm-hmm. I just felt like The Wave is a far superior film, and I don't know if it's the change in directors or not. I'm going to assume it is, because it's just a more complete film where I felt that The Quake was just kind of half-assed, and like Lara and I was talking about, it just sort of ends, you know? It doesn't really have an aftermath.
Well, because part of the problem too is that earthquakes only last like a minute or two apiece when they actually happen, so you're all building up for a little moment of action, and then it's just, all right, it's over. You know, it feels like at least the tsunami, the avalanche, has a little bit more of like stuff happening continuously to sustain a film almost. Like, I mean, unless, am I wrong in that? Because it feels like it's like, how much, you know, drama can you build out of a single quake that occurs?
Oh God, that is
you can build up 80 minutes of it.
Yeah.
A lot of stairs.
He definitely goes through a lot more in The Wave. But I do have to give props to The Quake, because there is the end moment where the disaster happens and they're in this high rise glass hotel is terrifying.
Of course they are. Of course they're in the most precarious building in the whole
city. It's a set piece, I'm so afraid of heights, and that freaked me the hell out. Like, I was having a hard time watching it.
Once we got there, it was like, what? That was really good. I admit. I really liked that part.
Yeah, if only it didn't take 80 minutes to get there, I guess, though.
Yeah,
it's just the setup really needed some work. I think they could have worked on the script more. I don't know what happened.
Well, Christian,
there are a lot of unanswered questions. I'm sorry.
Well, he's a geologist, right? Did I get that right? Can you believe Marsh from South Park is supposed to have that same job? That's terrifying. Stan's dad, Randy. Yeah, Randy Marsh has that job. That's just ridiculous.
Dude, if they did the quake in South Park, that would be the best episode of South Park ever.
Oh my god, that'd be great.
I need that now. Yeah. I need that in my life.
I mean, their new season just ended, so hey, there you go. Pilot episode for the next season.
Pretty sweet.
Just do a disaster movies in South Park. Please do that.
Well, I'm going to make a butt statement about it. Like, Christian's running around like, there's a disaster coming. Like, I feel like that's part of, like, maybe he gets a commission check for every time he yells that at his boss. And I liked the boss character, maybe again because it's a Scandinavian film. When Christian was like, a disaster is coming, blood is on all our hands, you know, he gets really dramatic about it because of his anxiety and his stress. But the boss is like, okay, calm down, Christian. But he doesn't mock him, so that's kind of neat.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
There's so much like math and interesting seismic looks at things and what a geologist does. So I thought that was interesting, but also kind of really boring, you know?
I wish they'd shown more of it that made sense.
Yeah.
Because what they showed us was just nobody was paying any attention to what they were looking at or what they were reading. So that didn't make sense. Because none of the scientists I know would ever have just been like, yeah, yeah, well, you know, construction. Maybe some guys were doing some stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just going to gaze at this paper in a way that makes me look like I'm reading it.
Yeah.
No, it's like, I feel like this movie is like a call to action film. Like it's trying to warn people, hey, this happened in Norway. It can happen again. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. You should call your senator or whatever the hell they have in Norway. Let them know earthquakes can happen. And they and their government people suck because they don't pay attention.
Is this going to be a trend for us, Brad, where we watch Norwegian films that are call to action? Because remember when we covered 22 July, which that whole movie is just a call to action film against fascism?
Yeah, yeah. And we watched...
I mean, that's a trend. Just call to actions in Norway.
Me and London reviewed Borders, which was a call to actions against, you know... A spoiler that I won't mention.
Yeah, you definitely should watch out for those spoilers.
So that's something that they mentioned too. Like when we talked about border, the idea it's like where the movie assumes you know a lot about Norwegian border policies
Norwegian folklore.
Yeah. So is this a case too where this movie kind of assumes a lot of the audience that are just like, oh, you guys know about Norway, you know about earthquakes, you know about this stuff too, or
yeah, you know about Norwegian bureaucracy, you know how terrible it is. Of course, you know.
Yeah. There's a scene that happens. Yeah. I'm going to say a cuss, so I apologize.
I don't think it was terrible. I don't think they assumed too much. I mean, we all know all bureaucracies suck.
Well, when he walked into that room, guys, and he walks into the room and he looks around, there's papers everywhere. There's like a model town on the floor or something. It's a very busy office room. And then he looks like terrified and goes, "What the fuck?" And I'm sitting there like... Is something alarming happening? Why is he so startled?
Yeah, no, that was... There are a lot of things that put me out. Like, that was one of them. Like, oh, really? This is what we're doing here? Like, why don't you show us what the thing is?
Yeah.
Let us make the discovery with him. It would be more effective.
Yeah.
Other than just watching him react. It's like, well, show us what he's reacting to. We want to know. Give us some information.
I'm not sure which version you guys watched. I saw the movie at Fantastic Fest. And I thought that they were... pretty educational because they definitely took the time to talk about how like Oslo in particular is a center for like earthquake activity and that this is definitely going to happen at some point in the future. So
they put that at the end of ours.
Okay, so that was okay. Good. Well? So that was the same version then. Good, good, good.
Yeah, the yellow dots and the red dots.
Yeah, it's a little bit educational, I guess.
Okay. I was just joking when I said that at first. That's true, apparently. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing either, which is like, oh, shit. We could all die.
Well, not just our country. I need to call my friend who lives in Oslo. He's in danger. So.
Where is the fucking rock right now? We need him to save us.
So that's what I'm thinking, too. It's like, so is this the movie that makes San Andreas look like a masterpiece in comparison then? Or is it just not?
San Andreas is a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece. Well.
Yeah, I like San Andreas quite a bit.
Well, to be fair, I actually enjoy it, too. But, yeah.
There is that moment in the middle where they try to make the rock emote. And then my daughter and I watch it a lot, and we're like, okay, we're bad people, but just move on with your life. Stop emoting. We know you can't act.
Aww.
I love him so much. He's the best.
Well, the patriotism in the disaster films that Hollywood puts out is always kind of fun, because it's like nature's attacking the very ideas of America itself. There's nothing like that in this movie, I don't know if it's refreshing or not that there isn't, but...
You know, I was thinking the same thing. I was trying to think of, like, this movie, because the name The Quake sounds like a dumb, like, an amazing sequel to The Wave.
Yeah.
We now have Christian coming back to save his family in The Quake.
The Quake.
Like, I can imagine, like, a dumb Hollywood version of this, and I can just see it play out in, like, a totally different way.
And you know they're going to remake this American style. starring The Rock, I'm sure.
Well, I'm shocked there hasn't been a San Andreas sequel, to be honest with you guys.
They're making
it. I am too, actually.
So. Oh, okay.
Really?
Oh,
come on.
What? They did it the first time.
That's surprising.
I mean that's guys, a great Hollywood. There's that no movie, idea, as bad as it is.
There's no
still.
Idea they can't exploit to make more money off of it again and this again and true. Again. So
this is true.
I do like, though, again, just to reiterate, I like how Christian's like, look at my papers. Look at the papers I've been looking at. I do prefer that over, I just have a gut feeling, and check out these 24-inch pythons, so you should believe me because I'm the biggest one here. And, you know, I prefer that people actually research and not just be like, might
makes
right. Although
it sounds right. This movie sounds like it could have used a Paul Giamatti character, to be fair. So, who's completely removed from the plot and not even important to the story.
I think we can all look forward to a trilogy, and the next one's going to be The Kano.
The Kano. Dun, dun, dun.
Wait, do they have volcanoes in Norway?
They do in Iceland. Maybe they can go to Iceland. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Done. We already wrote this movie, and it's already better than Sweet. The Quake.
After his hour and a half PTSD meetings with some other people, he can visit Iceland, and a volcano can go off.
Wow. That's right. And tremors happen.
So it sounds
and
like
there's got to be.
Oh, sorry. Go.
Go ahead.
No, go.
No, I was just going. Yeah, it's a joke. It's done. Mom's gone. Never mind.
Sorry.
Sorry.
But, I mean, to the main point, it just sounds like, I mean, to be fair, for us deviating so much throughout this review, it just sounds like there's not really a whole lot to say about this movie then, huh? Like, just, it's not even really, like, it warrants enough to make fun of it or to really say a lot about it. It's just kind of, it was just there. Is that what I'm getting?
It's very, the one thing I will give this, it's a very melancholic film. Like, yeah. you kind of feel miserable watching it. It's just like, it's not just the fact that, you know, it was boring, but it's very depressing. You know,
it is depressing. The guy's anxiety is just, it's crushing. And you really feel it. So if you like that feeling of crushing anxiety, this is for you.
So Norway, this is for you.
Well, the only actor I've seen do anxiety better, and this is a compliment, is Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us.
Oh, boy.
So yeah, that guy's anxiety is so bad, and he's so good. I love Sterling K. Brown, but I can't watch that show because he freaks me out, and I just can't deal, you know?
Brad, you just realized you casted the lead for the new Quake remake thing of New America. There you go. Sterling K. Brown in the exact same film.
No, there you go.
Well, the actor, the wife was good. I liked her acting, too. She committed to her choices wholeheartedly.
Awesome.
How did you guys feel about her, just to end, sorry, just to interrupt, but how did you guys feel about her as a character? Was she a plot device? Was she actually a character at all? I felt like she was like half doting, but half get your shit together, which I liked too, but I'm not sure what purpose she served.
I feel like they missed an opportunity with her.
Yeah.
She was clearly traumatized also, and yet she was having to deal with it where he could go off and have his little mental breakdown, and she had to like deal.
Like, I don't want to give anything away from The Wave, but you are completely right. There is a part at the end of The Wave where the same character, the same actress as well, she does something that is extremely fucked up to save herself and her son.
Oh, boy.
Like, I don't want to give any spoilers away, but, like, literally, it's probably one of the most excruciating things I've had to, like I've seen.
I want to watch it so much now.
So I think that it's just her character is kind of like, really? Really, Dick? You know? Like,
wow.
You know, like, you're the one with PTSD and I am moving on and trying to like make a life for our kids and you're like feeling sorry for yourself. And so I do think that they brought that over from the first movie. And I'm sorry, I keep comparing the movies, but I guess you can tell that I definitely like the first one better.
Oh, fair.
Yeah.
So then, I guess, leading to final thoughts, who wants to go first?
I'll go. I liked some things about it. It wasn't a total loss for me. I did have higher hopes for it based on the trailer and the production value that it looked like. It was going to be super fun disaster movie, and I love disaster movies. I don't know what that says about me, but maybe I'd rather see it on screen than, you know, live it. But, and I liked the cinematography. I thought it was beautifully shot. I liked some of the acting, but I feel like it was a total miss, and I wish that the script had not had all these open ends and random, you know, things and people thrown in that were never, you know, realized, like, what, you know, why the reason why things happened did not make sense at all for me. So it's like, really, what? Okay, I'll just take that. I'll suspend all disbelief again for that. But then, you know, once we actually did finally get to the quake itself, it was like really anxious, and I appreciated that. That's what you want. So I really enjoyed that, you know, being stuck in a glass building. Oh my God, that's terrifying. But then it just ended. So then I was like, oh God, really? Again, just ending. So, you know, hit or miss. I'm glad I watched it. It really makes me want to watch The Wave. I think that some of the actors were good, but overall, you know, I'm going to give this, you know, a limp, not quite happening tsunami.
We're in the shallows now.
So good. That was so good.
All right. Who's next?
I'll go next. I agree with everything Laura just said. It's just a very brooding film. It's not exactly what you want from a disaster movie as far as action-wise is concerned. Maybe it's just because it's Norwegian and not American. But again, I won't shut up about it. Having seen The Wave, which is just a superior film, I think that they can make an amazing film. I really like the characters. The end scene was fantastic. I wanted more of that. And then it just ends so abruptly. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, really? It's just happily ever after. And all these people are dead. And you're not even going to show that. So I give it 6,000 out of 10,000 rats escaping a falling building.
Gross. Nice. Rats are gross.
Let's see. Okay. London, how about you?
Okay, big twist here. I don't care for disaster films.
You were tortured.
But I do.
This is a voluntary thing. You know that, right?
No, it's not.
I have to say it right now that I did not force London to watch this movie in any capacity.
Sure.
You say that in public. Okay, so... Sure. All right, but... Okay, but back to what I do like. I actually do like character dramas. And this one, I kind of enjoyed the idea that... Like, having not seen the first one, I was kind of going off of this one just cold. I like the idea of a hero going through post-traumatic stress. And I think you're right. I think it went a little bit too far. But I think it's interesting to kind of have that aftermath of it. So that kind of kept me involved. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of disaster stuff, so I didn't really care about all that was happening. But... I think some of the interactions he had with the family, like their stuff, they're kind of dealing with it, and his really stressed, that actually kept me involved. I thought the acting was pretty good. You know, it was a lot of moping and weeping, but you know, it did, I felt it. I kind of connected with everyone. Along with the story, I kind of had issues with the screenplay because it was formulaic. There were just some characters just did some dumb decisions. Our characters were kind of along for reasons I don't know why. But, And I thought the cinematography, I thought it looked pretty. Like, you know, it's Norway has some beautiful landscapes, and you know, you just can't deny that. So, what I'll give it though is 7 reasons not to go to Oslo, Norway, out of 10.
Yeah, it seems like these are anti-travel laws, if anything.
Maybe that's the goal of this movie, is just to like stop tourism, because everyone hears that Scandinavia is awesome, so they're probably sick of people, so they're trying to find ways to scare them away.
Well, that's one way to go about it.
All right, then Brad.
I enjoyed it. I mean, it starts off pretty slow, but the titular character there, Christian, Julia, his daughter, who's just a meanie, if you ask me, through the whole thing. But I didn't see The Wave, so who knows what kind of shit she's dealing with that her father can't help her with, because he's not willing to deal with his. Beautiful family. I wanted all of them to live, so that's actually a rarity in a disaster movie for me, because usually you want the stepdad or the boyfriend the wife is seeing again to get axed. But... before I segue into other disaster movies, I really enjoyed the set pieces. They were intense, pretty scary. You know, not many disaster films take broken glass into consideration when quakes start to happen. You know, I've lived in California and Washington in my long life, and I've experienced some quakes, and there's always broken glass, and no one really talks about it, but it's pretty scary. And I liked the Tishieri characters as well, even though they didn't have much to say. You know, they still had their moments, so I enjoyed that. Just really, really plotting, though. I wanted to be intelligent and be like, oh, this research he's doing is great. But after like 10 seconds of a 3-minute sequence where he's just looking at paper, like, oh, please make it stop. Let the earthquake happen now and just take him. But I would say let's go 6 pieces of thrown furniture down a 10-angled slope from a quake.
I like it.
No, but I definitely want to see this movie continue, this series continue on. Like you said, the Kano, the tornado. I want to see this become a shark.
No. That would be the Nado.
Yeah, and then we could get the Sharknado. Let's get a Scandinavian Sharknado going on now.
How about the Torquedo?
Well, our character will finally get killed off on the Black Friday.
I think it's just called The Friday. So,
oh yeah,
can
The
we
Friday.
Get a crossover better. With Troll Hunter? Because I think Troll that Hunter. Needs to happen.
Dude, yeah. A found footage quake movie with.
Oh my god!
With trolls.
That's hilarious.
Like that's no quake and the giant troll in the distance.
Why are we working for Hollywood? We got to pitch these ideas.
Coming this summer.
Oh, man. So we are way better. Any team that's pitching ideas in Hollywood is like does not have anything on us. I'm serious.
Oh my god!
I am a screenwriter.
We just pitched
guys.
How many more movies? Like the next 20.
What happens in space that's a disaster?
I'm gonna write this as a screenplay. I'm gonna post it on the site. Just out of nowhere.
Gerard Butler needs to show up. Yeah.
Oh god!
Everyone gets a story by credit. Just podcast.
Thank you, appreciate that.
Yay!